Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, it's Steve here. Are you serious about hunting or self-defense? Well, starting in 1996, XS Sights took proven dot-the-eye sight pictures from firearms used on African safaris and applied that methodology to modern defensive handguns, all made in America and trusted by industry leaders. Meat Eater listeners can get an exclusive discount on the XS Sights website. So just go to xssights.com and use code Meat Eater at checkout for 25% off. XS Sights, the fastest sights in any light. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.
This is the Meat Eater Podcast coming at you shirtless, severely bug-bitten, and in my case, underwearless.
We hunt the Meat Eater Podcast.
You can't predict anything.
Presented by OnX Hunt, creators of the most comprehensive digital mapping system for hunters. Download the Hunt app from the iTunes or Google Play Store. Know where you stand with OnX. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is something I never wanted to happen. This was never supposed to be part of the plan. This is a live recorded show. It was meant to be that way. All I ever did, I mean, I did a couple other things, but the primary thing I have done over the years is argue against people who've tried to convince me of all the benefits and ease that would come if you would just record the interviews over Skype and shit like that. And I've always said it just violated my artistic sensibility. I just resisted it against all comers. But in the end, I was defeated by COVID-19. So here we are, recording the show, not live. I am so close to Cal. I can smell him, but we can't be together.
Can't silence our phones. Cats and dogs living together. Anarchy. Mass hysteria.
Cal's so close. I could smell him, but I can't touch him. He's over in his garage. Giannis, not as close, but I could still kind of smell him. Locked up in his home. The big moose skull from Alaska looking down upon him. Which makes me feel especially distant as Cal is just robbed. Cal, can you tell everybody about getting robbed?
Oh, man. So folks broke into, I guess, thieves, not folks. Thieves broke into my truck, opened my garage door about 2 feet with my garage door opener. And,
Can I ask you real quick about that? So they did reduce noise, they just opened enough to crawl under.
Yeah, reduce noise and you know, everything's very well lit here 24 hours a day, so maybe it was to keep the uniformity from somebody driving down the street.
Yep.
Because the garage doors are so tall, but
And then, just to paint the picture, Cal lives in a Cal lives in a live work spot. So he's got a big, huge garage. And on top of that sits his house, his home.
Yeah, one bedroom apartment. So that may be even giving these folks way too much credit. You know, my little sister's a detective now. I like to call her a dick down in Denver. And I was asking her about
a dick in Denver.
What her thoughts were. I have I got fancy new steel gas powered chainsaw. One of the.
Yeah, they didn't take your chainsaws.
No. No, so there is like this $1,200 chainsaw right next to an $800 chainsaw, and they took the $200 like hedge trimmer. And I was asking my little sister about that, and she was very serious. She's kind of a serious kid. Hard to call her. She's a serious dick. And she's like, well, did it have like a nice package, or did it have like bright colors to it? I said, well, the lettering was really bright, you know, it's brand new packaging. And she's like, yeah, Ryan, that's called meth. She's like, anything that's like shiny and good looking. And you started looking around the garage, and yeah, it was just like severe ADD, where something would be picked up and moved and put on the floor, and then in that spot you'd look around and be like, oh, from here they grabbed this and moved it. And they piled up a bunch of guns. You know, I never got around to building the gun safe that I was going to build, or the safe room for the guns that I was going to build. But nothing was out. But they found where I have all the guns, and they brought them out and stacked them. And then I have a brand new Weatherby 18i in the box that I was going to mount some turkey sights on. And that was laying on the couch next to my desk down here in my garage office, where I was doing all my taxes and trying to refinance my home. And where that shotgun was placed is where my whole file of all of my sensitive financial information had been resting. So they had picked up the brand new shotgun, saw that file, put the shotgun down, picked up the file, threw that in my bag. In order to use, so they used my Yeti backpack and this black hole Patagonia duffel that I've had for 15 years, and to like grab stuff and throw stuff in them. And that black hole duffel bag, they dumped out several $1,000 worth of fly fishing gear in order to utilize the bag to put in maybe $100 worth of pawn shop tools in that bag.
So your sister thinks it's meth. I think I'm putting together a little profile.
I like it.
They got a hedge at their house that looks rough. They're handymen, and they got a background in accounting.
They got a sack full, like many, you know, we always talk about like, what the hell do you do with elk ivories? Well, I've just been cleaning them up and chucking them in. It's not a Crown Royal bag, but you know, like those little velvety booze bags.
Yeah.
For frickin' ever.
They stole those?
They took those. Also a couple of arrowheads that I had sitting there, some buffalo teeth. And I felt really bad for the cop, right? Because he's like, what's missing? And what he meant to say is, tell me if any guns are missing. But he just said, what's missing? And it's 2:45 a.m. And I'm walking around my garage being like, son of a bitch. And he's like, okay, what? I'm like, my buffalo teeth. He's like, okay. And I'm like, oh, my arrowheads and my elk teeth. And then I turn around and he's writing this stuff down. Like out of a sense of duty, not out of a sense of justice or anything. Right. And I'm like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, look around. I'm like, you know what? They got a couple of, Weatherby over and under shotguns that I had, that are like our office shotguns, you know? And I had them here for one of our last hunts of the year and cleaned them up and had them sitting in the garage or sitting in the gun room. And, they had taken those. Those were the only two shotguns that they made it out the door with. But they stole my truck. They grabbed my spare set of keys.
Hold on, your truck's gone?
It was gone for all of 5 minutes. They drove it a tenth of a mile with the stuff, must have thrown it in wherever they had parked their car. And, the Bozeman PD had my truck. Like, two officers show up, and they're like, hey, what's going on? And then immediately one of the officers like grabs his, like you see on TV, like grabs his radio and he's like, whoa, and runs out of here. And, you know, 15 seconds later, they're like, yeah, they got your truck. I'm like, oh, okay. So go over to the truck and there's the two Weatherby shotguns in the back. but they got... So here's the biggest, like the biggest takeaway for me.
Lock your guns up.
Oh, like that's the thing. It's like the stuff that was locked up, but you know, in my mind, it is locked up. But yeah
it's locked up in your garage. Yeah.
Right. You need to do a better job of locking your stuff up.
How many feet were you from the burglars while they were burglarizing you?
If you could bore a hole through the ceiling, about 8 feet. But here's the crazy takeaway, right? Home defense. A year ago when I move into this place, I make the decision. Judge me.
I already have, Cal.
To put a 10 millimeter pistol and a 357 pistol in cases, but like carry cases, right? Essentially right next to my bed.
Yeah.
And I made that decision to where I was like,
you don't have kids, so go ahead.
And I was like, but still safe, you know, like not my nephew's not going to come over here and have any way of accessing those things. So,
I used to keep a pistol next to my bed. You can't do that when you got people running around your house, but if you live by yourself, yeah.
But you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, home defense. And why would I just have all my guns downstairs when I'm upstairs? So I hear stuff going on outside and I'm like, no, that's nothing. But I have turkey stock going on the stove. I'm like, I better check that turkey stock since I'm awake anyway. And then I get up and I hear.
At what time?
This is at 2:40 a.m.
Let me get this straight. So it's 2:40 a.m. and you like wake up and realize that you want to check your turkey stock?
Well, something wakes me up, right? And I kind of listen. I'm like, oh, this is kind of a noisy area of town anyway. And you kind of get used to some of the noises.
Okay.
But also, there is something like, that's not right. So I'm like, oh, I got a turkey stock on the stove. I'm going to go check the turkey stock. I make it about 5 feet. And I'm like, oh my God, somebody a person is downstairs in my home. And right next to me are those two pistols. And I know, as any hunter in any scenario would know, if I step out onto my deck, I will be looking at least one of these people.
Yeah.
And it is at that moment that I'm like, do not grab that pistol because you will kill that person.
Oh, I I feel like I would have thought something different.
Yeah, man. But I just absolutely know, like, from the gajillion times I've been in the woods at this point, you know, when you're like, well, let me just look at it through the scope. Like, things die when you do that. And at that point, I was like, man, I don't want to kill anybody tonight. Right or wrong, no. I mean, that's the process that went through my head. Now, the so other deal is...
You didn't have... man, you weren't just overcome with just immediate feelings of just wanting vengeance for them violating your place. Violating, well, your sanctity.
So I like I said, like, the door to the apartment part of this place is wide open. And so there's one door separating the garage from upstairs. And instead of going out on the deck, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go down the stairs. And at this point, I'm on the phone with the cops. And just to let you know, like, how fast this happened, I'm on the phone with dispatch for like 30 seconds, and I can hear sirens in the background.
Hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, I got to go downstairs, and I'm going to pound my feet on the way down the stairs and get these folks out of my garage. And then I don't even make it to my stairs, which is hard to do because it's such a small apartment. And I hear the unmistakable sound of my door, my vehicle door opening and closing, and my vehicle starting. Like, everybody knows the sound of their truck. And and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. You're like, how could that be? Cause I'm up here.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah. And then I was just like, you lost this round. Yeah.
Yanni, would you have gone in there guns a-blazing, Yanni?
Well, I was just thinking maybe a couple warning shots, maybe shot the tires out, you know, as they were pulling away. No, I'm kidding. Warning shots in the middle of town probably aren't a good idea either. So, no, I wouldn't have gone in there guns a-blazing. I mean, what, you're gonna murder some guys because they stole a chainsaw and your passport?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, when I came down Sunday morning,
it wouldn't be murder.
Not that I slept at all, but Sunday I'm down in the garage, like, really taking stock of what is gone, and they have two of my other bags, like, chocked full of stuff that they didn't make it out the door with. So I'm going through that and seeing what they grabbed. And they grabbed, a thing of rubber bands, a old set of first light suspenders, a couple of headlamps, one of which does not work anymore. You know, things that I had intended to return to the manufacturer for warranty purposes. A Sawzall that is pushing 20 years old that I literally dug out of a dumpster in Ketchum, a DeWalt drill with batteries that don't hold a charge anymore that I had finally been like, I'm going to call those guys from Milwaukee and see if I can't get a discount on a new drill. And all I could think is, had I stood out on my deck and shot one of those dudes, and like I'm saying, I know for a fact, like, I would have stepped out there and been staring at those guys 8 feet on the angle.
Yeah, but you could have. There's a lot of gray area between doing nothing and shooting at someone. You could have said, maybe like, stick them up.
Man. Yeah. Who knows?
That might have come to my mind.
Had I shot one of those dudes? And the cop's like, okay, yep, clear, you know, self-defense, got it, you know, castle doctrine, all that stuff.
Oh, but then you'd get to read about him online, and you'd find out about his mom, and
yeah, and by the way, here's your sawzall that you dug out of a dumpster, and that circular saw that you got for $20 at a pawn shop, and you know, your drill that doesn't work. Here's that drill that doesn't work. Here's your elk teeth, you know. Oh, yeah, officer, I may have fibbed a little bit. That wasn't an authentic Indian arrowhead. That's a reproduction, you know, like.
No, I understand, man. I understand all that. But I also know that, you know, I don't think that these individuals had any. It's not like you're dealing with children who don't understand right from wrong. You're dealing with people who've made a conscious decision to steal your stuff and then potentially put you in at risk.
Oh, I know. I know. And it had that. That's why I was kind of like stuck between a rock and a hard place. Cause, I was like, you know, somebody starts coming up the stairs to my apartment, it's going to be a very, very different story very quick. But you know, that didn't happen. And the other thing is like, when I heard them start moving out of the garage is when I was like, shit, I got to get down there. Little did I know that they had the keys to my truck and they were jumping in my truck at the time. But when I at that point, you know, I'm on the phone with the cops and I actually had like a little more reassurance that they're in probably the only extended cab, 8-foot bed tundra in the state of Montana during quarantine at 2:45 a.m. I'm like, they stay in that truck, these guys are going to get caught. You know, so, and I was like, do I drop my phone and so I can run out of here in my bare feet and chase my truck on foot? Like, what are the better odds? You know, I mean, I'm sure we'll get a gajillion people telling me exactly what I should have done, but
yeah,
that's what
more,
I did.
You're more mature than I am. I think because when I've had stuff stolen, I just fixate on, I fixate for a long time on the vengeance. And I allow these elaborate vengeance scenarios to play out in my mind.
Dude, you've been in my place. I have hatchets and hand-forged hammers and all sorts of stuff laying on every surface upstairs.
It's all for vengeance.
I haven't been sleeping since this happened because all I'm thinking about is like, would love to take that hammer and find that guy.
Yeah, how'd that turkey stock, how'd that wind up turning out?
Oh, beautiful.
Nice and clear, not cloudy.
So I'd purposely, because I always feel like wild game stock can, you have to reduce it so much to get like a rich stock.
Mm-hmm.
I purposely only strained the turkey stock like with a rough strain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you're unfiltered IPAs there. A hazy IPA there, Yanni. So it's
you speak
it.
You speak
out,
Yanni's
really
language
pretty.
Now,
but it's not. Yeah, I mean, so it's a little bit cloudier than you would think. But I did that on purpose to see how that runs. But Cam,
you know, it works to decant it now and then to get it clarified. And then there's another trick they do, which is. Hold on a second. I told you someone would be crying. Hold on.
Matt, what are you crying about?
Well, I laid down in the snow and that dragon.
Where was I? Oh, clarifying stock.
Yep.
Yeah, you can. To clarify that stuff, you can decant it, like just let it settle and then pour off the top. But there's this other thing I've done. It's an old timey method is you'd use like egg, crack an egg in there to clarify it. I don't even remember the details, but I remember doing it.
I have. So my next step is I've been hoarding tongues like you wouldn't believe. I got all sorts of tongues in every freezer. And I'm going to do a couple of big Corning batches of tongue. Yep. And I have this old timey, preserving book here in the garage. Miraculously didn't get stolen. I'm going to,
they probably discussed it.
Exactly.
They're like, I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Old timey preserving book. Should we grab it? Yeah. No.
Don't want that new shotgun in the box. We'd have to put it together. Nobody wants to deal with that. I guess that's the next deal. So I don't know. I think the turkey stock, leaving it a little cloudy, I think is going to work out good. And then I got, I did a giant batch of, all my elk bones and a couple of mule deer bones that I had in the freezer, that, as soon as we're done, I'll run through the strainer and can that today too.
Well, that's good that you're staying, you're staying active over there.
Can I quickly add about the clarifying stock?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, the egg thing is you just add in beat some egg whites and mix it in there and then let it cook together.
Yeah, basically, I remember doing that, and it binds in the impurities bind up in the albumin or something.
Yeah, basically when you then let it settle and you take it off the heat, it, like you're saying, the stiffened egg whites, or what's called the egg raft, will grab that stuff, and you just basically take that out. And still run it through a sieve with a damp cheesecloth. But I was going to also say that I always felt like that one of the number one rules for preventing cloudy stock is that you need to be careful about not ripping stock too hard while you're cooking it.
Yeah, it just gets everything agitated and stirs it all up.
Yeah, you just got it slow and low.
But I used to judge a man's stock by its clarity or cloudiness. But then I realized it just doesn't matter, man. I think it's aesthetics. Maybe someone will counter that and tell me it's not aesthetics. I think it's just aesthetics.
Because it is gorgeous, man. I mean, it is gorgeous.
I bet you there's a bitterness that comes with the cloudiness.
Really?
I'd like to explore this, but I wound up not putting a whole lot of attention into it. I thought it just as looks. When people used to make gelatin and stuff, you want it to be nice and clear, not cloudy. In terms of Cal... In terms of COVID-19 and Cal getting robbed and Cal not taking any cracks at the burglars with his pistol, it has been interesting for me to see, one, this reaches across all aspects of our American existence. And we're going to talk about a handful of ways in which, like in the outdoors world, the world we deal in, there's impacts from COVID-19, but we're going to explore some of this, but the implications of the pandemic, I mean, touch every aspect of American life. And that certainly isn't limited to America. Every aspect of global life. And it is felt in a lot of ways, even just in the world in which the world that we deal with here on this show around the outdoors, that we're going to talk about some of a little bit of that coming up here.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow, so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. Man, I just got a new truck. Before I even drove my new truck anywhere, I wasn't going to drive it anywhere until I put a deck system in it. That's what a believer I am in decked. I always thought they were a great deal, but now they're even better because they have redesigned their drawer system and storage cases from the ground up. It's like, I didn't know there was a problem with them. I don't know, they seem great to me. It's just an improvement on perfection. The new system, made in the USA, gives you 10 to 30% bigger drawers to fit more gear. It's lockable and secure, right? Weatherproof storage for all your gear. You build it right into your truck bed. You still have a truck bed you can put stuff on. The top deck of the new system has 8 D-ring tie downs integrated into the steel. So you have really burly anchor points to hook stuff down on your bed. So if you got to slam on the brakes or take off real fast, nothing shifts. And like I said, they're D-rings that lay real flat. Like you can still slide stuff right across the deck. It doesn't catch on the D-rings. The D-rings are built in. The drawer system fits any truck or van on the road in the USA from the last 20 plus years. Decked is a game changer. There's no more like leaving stuff at home that you wish you had with you. The stuff I want in my truck is in my truck, out of the way and secure. Go to deck.com/meateater to receive free shipping. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater.
And thinking about Cal getting robbed and whether or not you go out and take a crack at the guy, it's like it illustrates some kind of like interesting aspects of our own psychology and the psychology of others around how you imagine a situation like this playing out. And that so many people, especially people that I view as being like peers of mine and like-minded individuals, sort of immediately go to this place of go to this kind of last man standing mentality where you're going to get armed up in order to, I don't know what, repel your neighbors if they come for food. Like I don't really know. And I feel it. Like, and I understand it. You want to have this sense of that you want to hunker in and stockpile and defend. But I also wish that there was more of a knee-jerk reaction toward just going toward being getting prepared to be supportive of your neighbors and community. I need to prepare to support my neighbors and community. I mean, a lot of people feel that way, but it's also, there's also this pull that makes you want to get really insular, man. You know, to get, maybe you're supportive of your neighbors and community and family, of course, always your family, but then you have in your mind too, that there's like this last ditch thing, you know, and that you'll have plenty of food, you'll have water, you'll be able to defend your home if that structure that you're trying to simultaneously be supportive of were to collapse. It all is jumbled around in my head right now. It's not fun. It's not a fun thing to think about.
No, it's weird, and I've done, you know, like, so I'm Yeah, it is. It's jumbled around my head, right? Because I'm like, boy, all of my meat is in the freezer. So, you know, I went over and stole your big ass Weston dehydrator.
Yep, and may haven't returned it.
Nope. May not. That thing rips. You can do some cool stuff with that thing. But I took an unbelievable amount of meat and reduced it to about 8 pounds of shelf stable meat.
Yeah. Do you got a generator over there?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but, see, I got a generator for my freezer, but my stockpile of gas, I need to start stockpiling fuel.
Which you can, right? It's like, unless it's a diesel, it's like that's just the, fuel, yeah. The shelf stability of fuel so bad. Unless you get a bunch of those steel shelf-stable fuel deals where they put the Freon or something on top of it.
No, I buy ethanol-free gas and stabilize it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But then, you know, I've been canning some stuff, and then I have given away probably 200 pounds of meat since the quarantining talk started, you know, and my buddies
200 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Weighed on that hanging scale.
How many freezers do you have and how big are they?
Well, you got
and how many pounds do you have total?
You got that big one right there. And just in sausage meat that I ground up and mixed at Steve's house, there's 80 pounds of grind in there.
Yeah, I did a batch of grind the other day that was 40 pounds, man. And that was like not a lot.
Yeah, so and then there's a little chest freezer next to that one. Mm-hmm. And then I got my freezer upstairs too. So
freezer attached to your fridge.
Yeah. And so there's a third of an elk in there. Almost done eating through my 2017 mule deer and some coos deer and getting through the last of the fish right now too. So yeah, I mean I gave away a ton of meat.
So you're playing both sides. You're doing prepper stuff where you're making jerky and canning,
yeah.
But you're also doing community oriented stuff where you're helping people out.
Yeah. And like the canning and the jerky making are all things where I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to that one of these days. And so here's kind of a good excuse. But the reality is like for me, if all this stuff went belly up, if I wasn't such an invested friend to my friends, I could grab my backpack and be just fine. Like, I'm going to be able to get clean water. I'm going to be able to get food. I'm going to be able to have shelter and be just fine, you know? So I guess I'm probably not in the same mindset of somebody who's like right here, this particular spot. If all this infrastructure that we rely on goes down, I got to stick it out right here. Right here's the last place I'm going to be.
You'd be more mobility oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's stunning. So at our website, themeateater.com, we have up a tracker. It's updated constantly, right, Cal?
Yep. Yeah.
We have up a tracker on our website where you can go to follow and understand state by state rules and regulations and closures that will impact hunting and fishing type folks and outdoor recreation type folks. And it's getting to be like a really really complicated atmosphere out there. In our own state that we're under right now, our governor has, well, I'm under two things. So today is the last day of my 14-day international travel quarantine. So I was down on family trip in Baja, and things really kind of went to shit while out there. There was like the whiff of going to shit was in the air when we left. I think if it was 12 hours later, we probably wouldn't have gone. we got down to Baja just in time to have this feeling of like, oh my God, what's happening? The day before we got home, our governor had put out a thing that, I don't know what they call it, a mandate, whatever. What's the word I'm looking for? That anyone returning...
Directive?
A directive. That's correct. Thank you, Giannis. A directive that anyone returning from international travel do a 14-day quarantine. So we've been very strict about it, and I haven't, besides my home, I haven't walked into, it's kind of funny. Besides my home, I haven't walked into a structure. Not even a gas station for 2 weeks today. I left the airport when I landed in town, and I've been outside or in my home. But again, outside has been really important. It's a kind of a somewhat lame time of year for some people. Might view it as a lame time of year for outdoor activities, but just to keep out there and keep at it, we've been out trapping beavers and doing stuff. We're going to fish this weekend. Before my 14-day quarantine ended, there's another directive of a stay-at-home directive for the entire state. And there's a lot of exceptions for the stay-at-home directive, and one of those exceptions is outdoor activity. And you'll find even places where people in some states are being encouraged to do outdoor activity, but also being encouraged to practice social distancing during outdoor activities. So I was trying to determine what that meant for me specifically, and I made some phone calls and read the actual directive. You can travel to do outdoor activities on public lands here. That's not the case everywhere. One interesting thing we've heard from a guy. So for instance, we got a guy in Maryland. He said that he wrote in and was talking about that just by listening to this show, he got very interested in learning how to hunt. So he went out and bought a gun, bought calls, binos, turkey decoys, boots, all getting geared up to hunt turkeys this spring. Did all his scouting, got some private land permissions, did his hunter ed, and all he had to do to seal the deal was do his hunter ed field day. Got his online coursework done. But then the state canceled all field days. So this guy's sitting in this situation where he's already, he's geared up to go. He did his hunter's ed, but he can't fulfill his field day. So his spring turkey season is now off. My buddy Tony Calagrassi in Washington State was fishing on the Queets River in Olympic National Park. And he was having a good day and getting some steelhead. And all of a sudden, he's got a park ranger yelling at him in a friendly way that the governor has just declared that recreational fishing is done in that whole state. And Tony was actually escorted out of the park so that they could gate a certain area of the park. Him and his dog were escorted off. And now in Washington, you cannot fish. And this strikes me as weird because if you lived on a private lake, let's say you live on a lake, you can walk down and hit golf balls out into the lake, but you can't cast a fishing pole out into the lake. So rather than putting some parameters around what kinds of fishing, what places, what group size, whatever, it's just you cannot fish. It'd be like saying no touching. Like, not only that you close the golf courses, which I'm sure they've done, but you would also have a directive that says no one can touch their golf club and swing it.
Yeah, it's interesting how the stark contrast between that and then a lot of other states have changed their fishing regs recently. Almost completely 180 degrees in the other direction. And I'm guessing it's because Washington is such a hotbed of COVID. And so that's why they're just shutting it all down. and telling people to stay inside.
Yeah, like Seattle being one of the main, you know, the initial explosion point for the virus, and then remaining like a real hot spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Maine and Missouri and Pennsylvania.
There's a couple.
Did what?
Yeah. Well, they've all suspended all fishing license requirements right now. And a couple other states have opened fishing seasons a week early to encourage people to go outside and fish and you know, saying that it's, you know, good for your health. And so that no one has to probably, one, go and get fishing licenses and go in and out of, you know, stores, gas stations, whatever, and have human contact. And that way that, you know, no wardens have to have human contact. Everybody can basically just go fish without a license.
What states is that happening in?
Definitely Missouri, Connecticut,
Maine
opened fishing on lakes 1 week earlier on all lakes, rivers, and streams earlier.
Opened it a week earlier.
Yeah, and they're not the only ones. Wisconsin currently waiving all fees for state parks and trails. Maine, yeah, their inland fishing season was set to open. It usually opens April 1, but they opened it March 13th for the same reason, just to let people get out there. Pennsylvania trout opener is now April 18th, and that's across the whole state. There's not, I guess, normal years they have different days for different parts of the state when the opener is. And now it's just wide open.
I think
that about covers it.
It fuels this sort of suspicion or conspiracy theory. I almost hesitate to say this because I don't want to traffic in misinformation, and I know this isn't the case, but I've had friends in Washington who have expressed to me, in being baffled by the severity of the directive, have expressed to me this sense that they feel that their state they feel as though it has a sort of uneasy relationship with its hunters and anglers anyways, and it sort of fuels this little bit of paranoia that it's not a supportive, that it's not supportive in some way. But again, I shouldn't say that because I don't know the full story there, but it does feel really like there's a sort of a lack of nuance in how it's being pushed forward. I know that yesterday in Michigan, for instance, they've been seeing, with so many people home from work and school, they've been seeing an explosion in visitation at certain fishing access sites and recreation areas, to the point that they have taken to closing some, because people are going to these fishing spots. Like I remember, like one like Tippy Dam, where we used to fish steelhead and walleye, going to some of these fishing spots, and not able to practice responsible social distancing at the fishing spots, and they've had to close it down because people are too crowded. I was talking to a firefighter here in our own town, and they closed one of the local ski hills, but you could still go there. You know, the oftentimes ski hills are on public land, they're on national forest land. So in the summertime, you can go wander around up there. They closed the lifts, like closed the lodge, vending services, all that, and shut it down. But you could still just go up there and sled or ski on the hill. And they had put around some like guidelines about how to handle this, and that you'd go up and like skin up, ski down, don't linger. And that somehow turned into 150 people having a party on the balcony of the lodge. And so then they're forced to come in and consider how much are people able to just be smart, and how much do you need to come in and institute a nanny state, because people have a hard time understanding sort of the spirit of what's trying to be accomplished. Nebraska suspended new sales of non-resident turkey licenses. So if you already hold a spring turkey license in Nebraska and you're a non-resident, you can go hunt, but I believe as of yesterday or the day before. So as of like March 31 or 30 or something in there, they weren't selling any more non-resident turkey licenses. Washington shut down resident and non-resident, canceled some of the early bear hunts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
What are some other examples you guys are seeing here?
Well, I just, a buddy of mine, who's one of the very accomplished, awesome anglers at the Bighorn Angler down there in Fort Smith, Montana, just took a picture of some concrete barricades at Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks boat ramps there on the Bighorn.
No.
Seriously. As we're talking. So I imagine we're going to hear some news on that here pretty quick. Here's the thing that's been irking me. And it came to light again yesterday when I was looking at the Nebraska executive order. And everybody who's listening to this, follow the link and read the actual executive orders for all of this stuff, because it is just too easy to sensationalize these orders in whatever media. There's a lot of passion involved. But in the list of executive orders for the state of Nebraska, there is also an executive order to allow drive-up mixed drinks. And how we can determine the drive-up mixed drinks is a stronger benefit to the health of the population of Nebraska than running around hunting turkeys. I mean, we're talking about non-residents, right? But it's like, if we're going to lay this thing on health, let's get real healthy. And I apologize to the business owners on this. I used to sling a lot of drinks down at Red's Bar in Missoula, Montana. I believe they're doing mixed drink cocktails to go now too. So,
yeah. So if you go to our website, you'll find a banner. It's COVID-19 changes the hunting and fishing regulations. And it's kind of like, it's amazing to look at what the sort of, I'd love to understand it better, the different approaches. New Jersey, like, did we talk about New Jersey's trout season ahead of schedule? Like in Wyoming, if you want to register your black bear baiting site, you're supposed to be able to go in tomorrow and start registering it. And you normally would go into an office, fishing game office, to register your bait site. They're trying to work out a way to some new procedures that they'll delay by 2 weeks, some new procedures where you can register your sites online and not have to come into an office.
Yeah, I believe the state of Idaho, same deal. You gotta have a permit for your bait. They had it set up, I feel like earlier this week or end of last week, where it was, you had to set an appointment to come in and do that. I would assume they're going to switch to online. I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of this, but I don't think any angler outdoors person can have the mindset that this isn't going to happen, because it hasn't happened yet. Just like we self-police for poachers pretty darn well, and people who throw trash out, like we got to self-police for social distancing. And if that means going to the next fishing access site down the road because the one that you want to go to is too crowded, you better move on down the road, because, you know, it's these examples, these bad examples that are setting the precedent for the entire state.
It's a really tough spot for our community, because you have people who, just by fact of what they're engaged in, just people who like don't do well being cooped up and confined. And when you look at being outdoors, is this place where you can kind of find some space for yourself right? And just get away from it all. And then people start pointing out ways in which it's not safe because of the overcrowding. It just gets like, it gets intimidating, and you want to be a good player, right? And be supportive. And like I said, we got had a quarantine, a travel quarantine, and have just stuck our immediate family has spent the last 2 weeks engaging with no one besides me and my wife and our three kids. So you're a good player, but then you look at some of this stuff and it winds up being, there's aspects of this that drive it home for everybody. And there's a risk here of sounding callous. There's immense amounts of suffering happening. People are dying. People are losing family members. And I'm not losing sight of that. But as we stated in the past around political conversations and otherwise, this we try to, in this show, stick to the ways in which world events and political events and national events impact a like segment of our existence. And this segment of our existence we're talking about here is hunting and fishing and other outdoor activities. So that's why our focus is there rather than talking about, lack of ventilators that a state might be experiencing or overcrowding in hospitals. Like that stuff's real and that's what's going on. And that's the news you can get. But we're trying, we have an admittedly limited focus. South Carolina. Go ahead.
Is it too early? I'm just saying like the tie-in for like conservation minded folks is like we're dealing with people on a population level, not you as an individual. And it's going to be unfair for all of us at certain times, because what's happening, whether you want to believe it or not, in some cases is we're talking about people as a, as one giant entity, not you as an individual who, has all your turkey hunting stuff ready to go. And, your governor says you can't go turkey hunting. You know, it sucks. I hate it, but man, you got to find some positive ways to focus that energy.
Yeah, I had been for 9 months planning a trip up to an area called the High Line, which is some of the lowest human population densities that can be found in the lower 48. And just kind of a couple days ago realized it wasn't going to happen, but officially pulled the plug on it this morning. And I could load my truck up and my camping gear up and my kids up here with food that we already have in the house, grab a box of latex gloves and do nothing but pump gas with a latex glove on and be up there camping. But just something about the fact that it's a 4 or 5 hour drive made it feel like I was sort of not within the spirit of that. I was not within the spirit of what it is we're trying to accomplish here.
I think you're spot on.
But then you can think about it. It's like, I will have interaction with no one. I'll buy a tank of gas. I'll drive.
Yeah, you'll
up
put
there.
The effort into having interaction with no one as well.
Oh, but I think the reason not to do that though is that, as limited as the risk is, and the risk might be higher that someone's going to get hurt just throwing snowballs at each other at your house or get cut with a knife, but just getting on the road and traveling that far away from your house and getting away from your community, like you're just sort of opening yourself up to a little bit more unknown, and that unknown could turn into something bad, and then you could be stressing the system that we're trying not to stress right now.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach.
I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. Man, I just got a new truck. Before I even drove my new truck anywhere, I wasn't going to drive it anywhere until I put a deck system in it. That's what a believer I am in decked. I always thought they were a great deal, but now they're even better because they have redesigned their drawer system and storage cases from the ground up. It's like, I didn't know there was a problem with them. I don't know, they seem great to me. It's just an improvement on perfection. The new system, made in the USA, gives you 10 to 30% bigger drawers to fit more gear. It's lockable and secure, right? Weatherproof storage for all your gear. You build it right into your truck bed. You still have a truck bed you can put stuff on. The top deck of the new system has 8 D-ring tie downs integrated into the steel. So you have really burly anchor points to hook stuff down on your bed. So if you got to slam on the brakes or take off real fast, nothing shifts. And like I said, they're D-rings that lay real flat. Like you can still slide stuff right across the deck. It doesn't catch on the D-rings. The D-rings are built in. The drawer system fits any truck or van on the road in the USA from the last 20 plus years. Decked is a game changer. There's no more like leaving stuff at home that you wish you had with you. The stuff I want in my truck is in my truck, out of the way and secure. Go to deck.com/meateater to receive free shipping. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. South Carolina, all the lottery hunts on the WMAs have been canceled. North Carolina, some state parks, and then boat launches and game lands on some state parks close to public access. National parks are shutting down. Arches and Canyonland National Parks close until further notice. Glacier National Park closed until further notice. You know, this makes me think of is something that a really interesting experience that happened to me and my brother years ago is we had a horrible fire season. This is 20 years ago, maybe. We had this horrible fire season, and there were huge areas of big areas of national forest that had been shut down, and you couldn't get into them. And they had been closed for, in some cases, they'd been closed for upwards of a month, weeks or a month. And the closures on these national forests extended into archery elk season. And we were actually heard some rumors that they might be removing some of the barriers and open some of these things back up. And we'd sort of driven down to hunt on spec based on rumors we heard. And we were driving up a access road to a chunk of national forest and actually shot the shit with the forest ranger who's taken down the barricade. Like we're the first truck through. As he's opening up this thing that's been open forever. And I'm not joking, man. This is a place we had hunted pretty heavily. I'm not joking. We got to there's a big meadow at the trailhead. There's a big meadow there where guys will put up hot wire lines to corral their horses and stuff when they're packing in. There's elk in the trailhead. Right? So you imagine the impact of, like, you know, Glacier National Park being closed, and you imagine the impact of some of these stretches of river and stuff that just, like, wouldn't get hit. And maybe these are places that just get fished 365 days a year, right? And what that's going to look like later, if all of a sudden, let's say this stuff stays closed, what it would be to have it closed for a month and then get back in there. Down the line, just like some more interesting stuff, is that, West Virginia, suspended fishing license. Blows my mind. Fishing open to the public with or without license. You still got to follow bag limits. Michigan suspends all charter fishing and guide operations, at least until April 13th. I got a buddy here who's a guide, not close here in Montana, and he's all of his trips are canceled. He's scraping up odd jobs, painting houses, doing yard work for people right now. Just immediately felt the crush.
Oh, yeah, man.
In Oregon, as of midnight, Columbia River closed to all salmon and steelhead fishing. They did it to maintain solidarity with the state of Washington, as two states shared this fishery. So you picture there, right? You can't fish in Washington, but you just go over the bridge, whatever, buy an Oregon license and start fishing the same river. Maine's closing state parks, certain state parks. Washington, you can't pick clams either, so they're not just picking on rod and reel fishermen. Yellowstone closed. Grand Teton National Park closed. Missouri suspended all fishing license requirements.
So Missouri is pretty funny. The fine print says you have to be in good standing with the Missouri Department of Conservation, as in if you have a previously revoked fishing license.
That's great.
You can't legally fish even when nobody has a fishing license.
So if your privileges are suspended, you're like, that's really interesting. I love it when people think of their good stuff, where some guy's like, yeah, but what about people who aren't supposed to buy a license? Can they fish? And someone's like, yeah. Good catch. Let's write that in.
Can you imagine being the conservation officer trying to track those folks down?
Yeah, see some dude that you know is like, it's like, dude, you can't fish. He's like, what? There's no license requirement right now. I know I can't buy a license, but I don't need it right now. Wisconsin. Here's interesting. Wisconsin waives all fees for state parks and trails. Though the state is under a shelter in place order, the order recognizes outdoor activity is essential. So, come one, come all. No fees at state parks. Florida, all state parks are closed. Oregon, all state parks closed.
So, I wonder if, I'm sure this has to play in somehow. It's like the impact of people on those individual park systems, right? It's like, we've all seen I haven't been in Yellowstone in years, but so many pictures and so many stories out of Yellowstone. People are so packed in around everything and wildlife spottings and bear jams and all that stuff. And maybe some of these state parks, like, they just don't have that many visitors or don't have a density of visitors in some of these areas, and that's why they get to stay open.
Like Florida, that's a crowded ass place with a lot of boats. You know how Florida, like we were talking earlier, that Washington says, okay, no fishing. In Florida, the governor issued an executive order requiring all recreational boats to remain at least 50 feet apart.
Wow.
So there you're in that case, you're sort of trying to work with people, but you're also putting, you're also giving people a lot of room to screw up or not. You're treating people like grownups, and they don't always do well.
They don't. I mean,
when they get treated like grownups, unfortunately, but I love, it's a great, I love it. I mean, if it works, it's like, it's opening up to give people some, room to still operate and try to find some mental health, while still following through on the objectives of the state to keep people apart.
Yeah, it's just so, like, I you know, working outside Glacier National Park for a long time, the park is there and it's beautiful and awesome, but you get to see firsthand how reliant people are on the services provided by the National Park Service or provided by the vendors approved by the National Park Service.
Give me an example there. What you mean?
Trash cans.
Okay.
Like, you're staring at this unbelievable mountain range up on McDonald Pass going to the Sun Road, and it is absolutely breathtaking, gorgeous, and there's mountain goats and stuff like that. And then you drop your gaze a little bit, and instead of people seeing a very full trash can and being like, oh, I better do something else responsible with my trash, my refuse, like hang on to it a little bit longer until we find an empty trash can down the road, maybe, or down the sidewalk, they just chuck it there next to the gas can or gas or sorry to the trash can or pile it up on top and the wind blows it and takes it away. And it's like, I just see, like, people are so reliant on those services, clean bathrooms, you know, all this infrastructure that has to be manned by people. And we get to this spot where it's like, okay, well, why do these folks have to be, you know, potentially in harm's way to provide those services that we know people expect when they go to a national park and a lot of state parks and a lot of fishing access sites. And so I do wonder if there's some park superintendents that are weighing in on this to the governor, and they're like, you know, we don't have problems with people here, so we'd like to remain open. I wonder if they're making a decision, or if it's like, you know, we are so understaffed and so under budget under the best of circumstances here because the crowds that show up behave like such pigs that we'd prefer to close.
It's funny you mentioned the garbage thing, because, like, in raising kids, we try really hard to make them aware of that kind of thing. You know, like how you handle your personal refuse, and that when we eat in a restaurant, we make them get down on the ground and clean up, and to police their area around their plane seat before they get off the plane, and not just be that, ah, someone will get it. Like, I make them get down and crawl around under the table at restaurants. Picking their mess up, dude. Because if you don't pound it into them now, it's like they'll never get it. It's so funny you bring that up, like the overflowed trash can. And people are like, I can't just throw it on the ground. I'll set it on there, and my piece of trash will displace some other piece of trash that will land on the ground. But no one can say I didn't try.
Yeah, man. I'm probably just complaining for the sake of complaining, lamenting. But man, I've been thinking about that a lot for some reason. Like, I mean, are we bringing some of these closures upon ourselves because as a group, we have been behaving so poorly in some of these places?
Hey, did we hit that? Yeah, we already hit New Jersey 10 days ahead of schedule trout season. Trout are going to be feeling the pressure. Cal, tell everybody about Well, first of all, let me start with this. You know what I want to tell you guys about real quick? A little update, non-COVID update, is after 11 months of waiting, 11 months of incubation, I got my suppressors, my silencers. Yeah. So I had two silencers, suppressors. It's funny because everybody used to call them silencers, but it's like, you know how you have the death tax and the estate tax, and it's the same thing, and the word you use depends on your viewpoint about said tax. If you support the tax, you're like, let's call it an estate tax, because that makes it seem like you're just hitting rich people, and that's cool. And then dudes with enough assets that they're going to be hit by such a tax, call it a death tax, because that makes it seem like, well, dude, you can't tax a man upon his death. That's not fair. So you use different words to sell your viewpoint. What had historically been silencers, which is a miss, I'll admit, is a misnomer. Silencer doesn't make your gun silenced. It suppresses the sound. And you still have the sonic crack. You know, if you're using most ammunition, it's faster than the speed of sound. And so you still have a sonic crack, a loud noise. But either way, suppressors, that's what you're supposed to call them. A year ago, I got two suppressors, a 22 caliber in the parlance, you'd say a can. I got a 22 caliber can and a 30 cal can. But you can't bring them home with you. Like, you can go down to the sporting goods store. You can go to Walmart, right, and buy a rifle and take it home with you. But if you want a device to make it not so damn loud, you have to get a special ATF permit for it. And you go down to like a FFL and they receive your cans, they receive your suppressors, and then you fill out all these forms and you send it off. And apparently, I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is. The story goes that the ATF is so backlogged in suppressor forms that it's taking them that long to do their end of the deal and get your form back. So I dropped off my two suppressors and waited 11 months. Then all of a sudden I get a call from the sporting goods store that I can come down and take possession of my suppressors. There's a lot of countries in Europe where it's super hard to get a gun, but you can go down to the equivalent of your local Walmart and buy yourself a suppressor. So it's just like, they can't believe, some people can't believe that in America, it's like, I can't believe you can hunt with one of those. And then I remember talking to a guy in Scotland and him saying to me, I can't believe you can hunt without a suppressor. So I haven't done any hunting with mine yet, but I now am the proud owner of two suppressors, which, Yanni, in your situation of gunshots downtown when trying to scare off looters or trying to scare off burglars, you could have had probably a much more intimidating sound were they aware that you were up there with a suppressor shooting warning shots. That'd scare me more. I'd be more scared. Because I'd have a different vision of who it was that was wielding the firearm. I'd be more like, huh, this isn't going to work out well for me.
I can't wait till the day that we can just, when you buy a rifle, you can just buy the suppressor with it. I'm going to have it on all of my guns.
It's funny because let's say guns, like the people that resist it, like, and I understand the arguments against it. There's an argument against it that it makes you could commit a crime without that loud of that telltale crack, right? And burglars, murderers, what have you, are going to be like less inclined to shoot because the gun's damn loud. It'll alert people to the, right? That's a reasonable argument. Then there's a reasonable argument that poachers will be emboldened because there's not that telltale gunshot off in the night that a game warden might hear. And in fact, we were talking to a game warden in Missouri one time, and he was saying he personally didn't like suppressors because he gets a lot of work done based off, you know, toward dusk, there's that one rifle shot off in the distance, and he's like, huh, something about that seems fishy, and he heads over there to investigate. And he was saying without the report, he feels that his ability to do his job would be compromised. So there are those arguments. But I wonder, let's say that for whatever reason, guns just weren't loud, right? that somehow the mechanics of a gun going off wasn't loud, would there mm-hmm. be people pushing for regulations that you need to put a thing on your gun to make it louder?
No.
Probably not. So the fact that someone might want their gun to not be so loud seems reasonable. If we could achieve it with different powders, if somehow some scientist developed a gunpowder that just, for whatever reason, I don't understand the mechanics of it, made it so it just didn't so damn loud when it went off, and people started using it, would they be bummed out? Would they say, no, you got to stick with the super noisy gunpowder? It's interesting.
It's like a good game. Didn't we already do that when they're like, hey, I noticed that when you shoot your musket, there's not a blinding cloud of smoke. what you got there?
Yeah, well, that's called smokeless powder. Then some regulator would be like, you know, I want you guys to go back to the real smoky kind. I liked it better when you couldn't see shit after you shot.
I had a fella write in the other day who was kind of getting spicy with me because he was wondering why I hadn't brought up, talked about the fact that everybody should have suppressors and stuff
on your conservation show.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how? I don't have one. I don't even apply for big game tags that set me up for that much disappointment of waiting for 11 months. you know, I'm like, when it becomes easier, I'll have one. But right now I'm like, I don't like filling out forms that set me up for a lot of waiting. So,
To be honest with you, I did it as much as just because I wanted to explore the process as anything else. It was a learning experience.
Yeah, man, because you hear so much complaining. I mean, I'm here like, I haven't even tried because I've talked to so many people that have complained so much about it. I'm like, man, that doesn't seem like it's worth my time. So
there's
good
this
for you.
There's an ill-fated bill out there called the Hearing Protection Act. And that's like a name for an act where you'd be like, well, who the hell could argue against that? But it would be, it would remove a lot of the red tape and it would remove a lot of the red tape around suppressors. Another thing I want to touch on, everyone knows that me and Giannis are running for president, which is going pretty well. Ranella Patel is 2020. And when we launched our campaign, there's the issue of where we stand on campaign finance reform. And we had always said that, you know, our campaign finances were reformed because, you know, how you can go and buy a MAGA hat. You can buy a Make America Great Again hat. I saw recently that you could enter a drawing to win a MAGA hat signed by President Trump. Right. And they sell the MAGA hats and it raises money for Trump's reelection bid. I don't know if you can buy a Biden hat. I haven't seen anybody running around. I haven't seen one guy yet wearing a Biden hat, but let's just assume maybe you can buy yourself a Biden hat. What that money does is it goes to support the campaign. But Ranella Patel's 2020 is different because when you buy our stickers, hats, t-shirts, yard signs, what have you, we take all the profits from those sales and don't use it to stock our own campaign coffers, but we use it to plow our profits into our land access initiative. And Cal, tell them all about it.
All right. So the Ranella Patel's 2020 campaign merchandise, any purchase of that merchandise, the profits from those sales will go into our land access initiative fund. That fund will be utilized when we can find that opportunity that fulfills the campaign promise, which is giving you, us, we all more or better access to hunting and fishing. So if you know of a property or a landowner or an area that could benefit from, let's say, an easement or a boat ramp or a trail or something that accomplishes this goal, then let us know. And you can do that by going to the Runella Putellus 2020 website and filling out a very simple form. And yeah, hopefully we can keep this thing going. So that's the program, but we're all real excited about it. And we've got a bunch of submissions, already.
What kind of submissions are coming in?
Well, because of the design of the form, we have, you know, it gets to be pretty pointed. You know, we're asking for, a pretty good details of the piece or pieces, that folks are submitting. So, you can't just write in and say, boy, I'd really like to get to this place and I can't right now. You have to write in and say, hey, here's the name of this landowner. This is the, they would be amicable to talking about an easement, or this property is for sale, or this property will be coming up for sale and it backs up to those types of situations.
We need a hot lead is what you're saying.
We really need a hot lead. Yeah. And because of the nature of this and what everybody else deals with too, is I can't really be like, well, this one particular property that's up for sale right now is just a real gem. And if we were to get a hold of it, we'd provide access to 20,000 acres for the low, low price of, because I don't want some, you know, real self-centered son of a gun to be
to move in there and scoop you.
Scoop all of us, Steve. Scoop all of us. Yeah.
Got it. So the way to support the Land Access Initiative, go again, if you go to themeateater.com, themeateater.com, all one word, go there. In addition to COVID-19 changes the hunting and fishing regulations, which includes park access and all that kind of stuff we've been talking about, you can go there and find our Runella Putellus 2020 thing. Support us. Better hunting and fishing for America. Support the campaign.
Yeah, by doing so, sorry for the interruption, Steve, but it's under the conservation tab. If you click on that, then and then there's a drop-down menu, and the bottom option is Land Access Initiative, and that'll take you to the page where you can, all your answers about what we're talking about will be answered. Sorry, all your questions will be answered.
Yeah, polling really well across the country. Better hunting and access, or better hunting and fishing for America with our Land Access Initiative. You know, one last thing I want to talk about, and then I just want to make sure Yanni's got a chance to chime in with, he's got a guy pointed out that all the talk we used to have about the Michigan Hello, which is the practice, and it's a national practice of giving people the bird.
I gave you guys one today when I signed on
as a way of saying, what's up? You flip someone off. They were talking about, this guy wrote in saying it's, that's a very, zeitgeisty way to say hi, because it eliminates contact. Oh. When you say hi by shaking someone's hand, you're exchanging a massive amount of germs. But when you give them the Michigan hello, there's no exchange of germs. And it's a twofold message. You're saying hello, but there's also a little bit of a don't come near me mixed in. So when I see you and I throw you the bird, I'm saying like, hello, keep your distance.
Yeah, you're eliminating the confusion of all those extra fingers in the air of a traditional hi.
Exactly.
Or a wave.
So this guy was saying that the Michigan hello is really like a thing that we should all be paying attention to and using right now. And I've been upping my usage considerably. Yanni, what else you got?
Have you taught your kids about what the middle finger means?
Yeah. Well, I didn't tell them, like, they know that they're not supposed to do it. And then if one of them, they know you're not supposed to do it. They don't, I didn't like put it, I didn't verbalize it. They know it's an insult. Yeah. And they know to watch each other. And if they catch one another inadvertently with their middle finger out for whatever reason, like for whatever, they're holding their cup in such a way that makes their middle finger appear to be out, they will then tattletale on that person for putting their middle finger up. They feel that it's like, regardless of intent, regardless of scenario, keep your middle finger in line with its neighbors.
Got it. Sorry, what were you going to ask me?
Just what if you got any final things? I miss you so damn bad, Giannis. This almost brings a tear to my eye, man. This is the longest we've... This is in many years. This is the most we've been apart.
Oh, yeah.
Has to be.
Here's something that comes to mind, man. We have some neighbors that simply just can't seem to live without deliveries every day. And I feel bad for the FedEx and UPS folks that have to come to people's houses and possibly come in contact with people for bullshit that they probably don't need. Limit your buying. You don't need nothing right now. On a higher note.
But let me counter that for a minute, because you might want to ask these people if they want to continue, if they like having their job right now, and that we want to continue some economic activity in this country. And if we determine that there are certain ways in which there can be some economic engagement that minimizes risk.
Sure.
I don't know that I want to tell the guy from FedEx or a guy from UPS that it's too bad you're working and that you should be like people that work in restaurants who have no income right now.
Yeah. Nope. I only feel bad for him if he's thinking like, man, I'm getting put into a situation I don't want to be in because of what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I hope that they have some practices they do to, you know, they have some practices they're able to use to stay as safe as possible.
Sure. And hopefully they're heeding them. Hopefully everybody's heeding them. But on a lighter note, you know, we did the other night, I don't know. Oh, it was from Butcher Box. I had like maybe 40 chicken wings in my freezer. because everybody's been finding these little gems in their freezers during these times when everybody's got more time to go digging around. And I happen to have 40 chicken wings. My girls are 6 and 8, and they had no idea what a chicken wing was. And so I made barbecue sauce, I made teriyaki sauce, and then a classic just, you know, hot sauce and butter, you know, spicy chicken wing.
You made three sauces just for your family?
Well, the barbecue sauce was already in the fridge. Yeah, yeah. So
that's still ambitious. That's ambitious.
But, man, I tell you, we had such a fun evening of frying and eating chicken wings and talking through the whole chicken wing thing. And I had to tell them about how there's whole restaurants out there that we'll go to when hopefully the world goes back to normal where all you can eat is chicken wings. And they're really blown away. And we had a nice, fun evening with chicken wings. So next time you go grocery shopping, see if Costco's probably got a giant bag of frozen wings you can get.
Did you try to tackle buffalo wings?
Buffalo?
Did you throw buffalo that term wings at them?
No, I did not. I should have.
If you've got kids, I think it's helpful right now to imagine how you're approaching this whole thing with them. We kind of went to a... 2 weeks ago, we had to go to a... information on a need to know basis with our kids, because we started to feel that it was getting a little much and a little chaotic. I don't like to sugarcoat stuff for my kids. My kids understand, you know, we talk very openly about sex and drugs and rock and roll, you know, as much as we can around home. Like we don't create a lot of blind spots for them, but we're trying to you know, have this be not the least not traumatic. A lot of big changes and a lot of things going on, but we try to keep a pretty positive spin on it. And I think that one good way to help do that is just around evening meal time. We've been working cooking together a lot. I had the kids last night make, they did everything to make venison meatballs, you know, like from taking bread, putting the food processor, making the breadcrumbs. They did the whole process. So we've been doing a lot of that, just some good education there. And, so I think if you got kids, try hard to take advantage in the best way possible to take advantage of the situation to maybe do some things you don't normally have time to do with your youngsters. And hopefully they'll not come out of this, you know, any more scarred than they need to be from being removed from their friends and their schools for so long.
Yeah. It's overwhelming for them too. I think we roughly did that at the same time because we, I had mentioned to you that we, had quit listening to the morning news while everybody was having breakfast because, the kids were just having too many sort of scary thoughts and asking questions about their elders and, the longevity of their elders' lives, et cetera. So
that's funny because that's where we wound up getting hung up. We wound up getting hung up on grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning too that the whole reason that you're kind of beat by the COVID and you're forced to do this podcast is because we're taking it seriously, this whole social distancing thing. And, you know, locked up in our houses and trying to, you know, doing our civic duty to hopefully help this thing get better soon. And hopefully everybody else is taking it as seriously.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, when you guys first got back to Mexico and I brought over a grocery run for you guys and maintaining the social distance and my little buddy, your youngest, you know, easily 8 out of 10 times I come to your house, I'd, you know, pick the little guy up and give him a big hug and having to stop him short and the three of us yelling at him not to come any closer, like, wait.
Yeah.
What a horrible, I mean, damn near cried on the way home. Like, that is just, it's terrible. So I really do feel for you parents out there because I'm sickeningly independent and selfish over here in my garage. So
yeah, it's hard on everybody, man. I really can't even tell you. I think that if it was happening for natural reasons, like if I was just up at my fish shack for a couple of weeks with my family, I wouldn't be like, man, do I miss my friends? But just knowing that you can't carry on the way you carry on and that I, you know, not able to hang out with you guys, it's like, it's hurtful. It's hurt. I don't like it. I miss everybody. When this is over, I think we'll all probably look at each other differently. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up for now and take care of your family. Take care of your friends. Take care of your community. Take care of your country. You know, kind of in that order.
Be respectful when you get outside, but get outside.
Yeah. We'll all get through this. Talk to you guys soon.
This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.